We're doing a midnight Bible stories study, and one of the midnight Bible stories is found in Acts 16. And actually, I think that whole chapter is highlighted by the midnight Bible story. The verses in Acts 16 from 25 through 34 all happen at midnight. Realize that. And we spend a lot of time talking about these things. And just real briefly, I don't know how many of you have not been here, but if you haven't been, Paul and Silas had been arrested there in Philippi. And they were dragged before the magistrates in the town center and beaten and cast into prison. While in prison, at midnight, it says in verse 25, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And they weren't quiet about it. It says, and the prisoners heard them. Now, how many prisoners were in this prison, we're not told. There in Philippi, could have been a couple, could have been a half a dozen, it could have been more than 50, because we're not told. There were other prisoners there, and Paul and Silas were in the inner part of the prison, feet fast in the stocks, and they sang praises unto God and prayed at midnight. And God heard them too. Verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed, but nobody escaped. They were held spellbound by the events of this midnight hour, orchestrated by the Lord through our apostles Paul and Silas. And the keeper of the prison, in verse 27, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, so his house must have been very close in order for him to realize this, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that all the prisoners had been fled. Well, your mind plays tricks on you in the middle of the night, I'll just tell you that for a fact. You know, if you go out there in a darkness, you can imagine some horrible things, and you can see some wonderful things too. And Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Isn't that amazing? As a miracle, they were all there, and Paul knew this. But who was in charge here? The Lord. And the Lord had actually put Paul in charge here. Think about it. We said that this is these events that took place here to get him in the prison and so forth was actually the Lord giving Paul and Silas the keys to the city of Philippi. And this unlocked all the opportunities right here at this midnight hour. And verse 29, the jailer called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out from their inner prison dungeon cell there. And he asked his most important question with all sincerity in urgency, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And we talked about this last time, and that's about where we left off. And they said, Paul and Silas, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." We're going to spend a little more time talking about this morning. Last week, we discussed that the phrase "believe on" is found in 14 scriptures. 14 is a number having to do with deliverance or salvation. In our Bible, the word midnight is found 14 times. because it has to do with deliverance or salvation. The highlight thing that we should take out of Acts 16 in this midnight Bible story is deliverance and salvation, not only from Paul and Silas from prison, but from those that were delivered from their sins. Salvation. And we mentioned also that in these 14 verses, you'll find the phrase, believe on, 15 times. And then we went over another phrase, believeth on. That's found also 15 times in Scripture, 15 being the number of rest. And we can rest on the fact that you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, okay? That's something we can rest in. And we went over a lot of those scriptures. And I've already covered most of this that I'm looking at here in my notes. There's one more statement found in John 3:36 that we haven't yet looked on, and that's the phrase, that has to do with the phrase believeth on, one of the 15 times that it's mentioned. John 3:36, and here's what it says. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And this was a statement of John the Baptist. Now, I kept researching, as I and Scott always do, and we found, after looking at the believeth on and believe on statements in Scripture, that there are some believeth in and believe in verses of Scripture also. And it might be a matter of semantics, I don't know. I was asking my wife about this the other day, the difference between believe on and believe in, and we went and then that, you know, she come up with, what's the difference between trust in and trust on, you know, in the Lord? I mean, you can believe in an airplane, but can you actually get on it? There were some people that couldn't, and they'd get off. And I, you know, but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Get in. Take the journey. And all these concepts, believe on, believeth on, believe in, and believeth in, are interwoven in the principles that they present concerning salvation and beyond. So I had you go to John 3, and you're still there. Let's go back and see what Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3. And this is really actually another midnight Bible story, if you think about it, because Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, didn't he? Mm-hmm. So that's in verse 2. And he was in darkness at night, but he really was in darkness, and that's why he came to Jesus, to get some light. Jesus is the light. And in John 3, verse 7, Jesus explained to Nicodemus a simple statement. You must be born again. That wasn't true just for Nicodemus. That's true for all of us. And then Jesus further expounded on this theme unto Nicodemus. And he says to him, starting in verse 14, some things that Nicodemus, a Pharisee, would know and understand. John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So in this portion that we just read, we read two of the six believeth in verses of Scripture, and we read one more believeth on verse. We might have read that last week, I don't remember. But go to John 11, and you'll find two more of the believeth in scriptures. I mentioned that there are six of them. In John 11, Jesus is talking to Lazarus' sister Martha after Lazarus had died, before Lazarus was raised from the dead. In John 11:20, we read this. Then Martha, soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went in and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. There's a sermon there, but we'll go on. Verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So she had learned some things from Jesus, hadn't she, about the resurrection. Verse 25, Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, that's that another one of those believe within statements. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Excuse me for a second. Go to Acts 10th chapter. And when we did our study in Peter and his one of his midnight Bible story situations, we talked about this in Acts 10. And this was in Peter's sermon at the house of Cornelius, where we read one more believeth in verse, and that's in Acts 10:43, where Peter, speaking of Jesus of Nazareth, Peter says this, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Now, I'll refer you to the last one of these believeth in verses of Scripture. It's found in Romans 3:26. Actually, let's just turn there. This will not be in the printed notes, but the reference is there. And we'll start in verse 23 of Romans 3, where we learn, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no exceptions to this. This is a fact. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, that through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be the just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So, I guess we've looked at all the believeth in scriptures. Now, that's believeth in, and now there's 12 believe in scriptures, but we're not going to look at all of them. We'll look at three of them. Go back to John 12. This is how you learn your Bible, studying the scriptures. Jesus said in John 12:36, while ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and hid himself from them. How did he do that? How did he hide himself? He just does it. You know, how many of you look in the mirror every day? Brush your teeth, comb your hair, put on your makeup, whatever it is you do. And what do you see? There's some things that you look at that are hidden from you. I had a big old mole right here in my head. For how many years, I don't know. It was kind of behind my hair. I must have looked at it every day, but I never seen it. It was kind of hidden from me. Once I seen it, I prayed for it. That's kind of silly, huh? You know what? I just forgot about it. One day I looked, had this thing in my comb. It was that mole. I said, thank you, Jesus. I remember praying that some time back. He doesn't always do things the second we ask him to. But things can be hidden from you in plain sight. Go to John 14. In John 14, 1, we'll read another one of these believe in scriptures. John 14, 1. And this was at the Last Supper, and Jesus told his disciples in John 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And then we'll go to one more, and we'll actually hit this one twice today, so don't get too excited. Romans 10. We'll start in verse 9. The Apostle Paul writes here that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, note this one, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, back to our midnight Bible story in Acts 16. In a most desperate situation, at a dark midnight hour, the Philippian jailer has asked this most important question to Paul and Silas in Acts 16:30. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And I mean, he was in a panic when he said this. And I don't know if we could probably give the proper tone of what was being said here. But immediately, and I thought about this, going to a church and say to the pastor, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" They might get an answer like, "Well, that's a good question. You know, we've never had anybody ask that question here before." And there's churches like that, I'll guarantee you. And you know there are. They don't have an answer. But Paul and Silas had an immediate answer. And they said in verse 31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And then our story continues in the next verses. And it's still midnight. Verse 32, "And they," Paul and Silas, "spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." How many believing in statements do you think there are in Scripture? You're about to find out. One. Right here. Acts 16:34. Okay. So, again, all these events that we've been studying about from Acts 16:25 through Acts 16:34 happened at midnight, that being the dark hours before dawn, before daylight. And we're going to look at these verses 32 through 34 a little closer, because we read these things and we look at them and we just move on and we miss some things maybe. Acts 16:32 tells us that Paul and Silas spake unto him, the jailer, the Philippian jailer, the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. Paul and Silas were expounding unto the jailer and to all in his house what it meant to believe on the Lord Jesus and what it meant to be saved. And we've examined many scriptures that explain this further. The phrase in verse 32, "the word of the Lord," is found in 255 scriptures, the word of the Lord. It's an important phrase. You might want to look some of those up. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. For in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, we will find summed up the word of the Lord that Paul preached and how simple it is. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. And it reads, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received," here's the word of the Lord, "how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." This is the word of the Lord. This is all he needed to tell them for them to be saved, to believe on this. And then go back to Romans 10. And this time we're going to start in verse 8, and we just read this, but we'll read it again. And in Romans 10:8, we start there, it says, "The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Here it is. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." I remember one time a couple, 3 years ago, I was playing golf with our pastor and another brother in the church. And we had a caddy, and our pastor took him aside, asked him if he was born again. And he said he was a Catholic. And he says, "Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again?" He gave him basically this scripture that he has been raised from the dead. And he says, "Yeah, I believe that." He says, "You are saved." And it was that confession. It was that simple, you know. It wasn't something he didn't know about. It's just he never verbalized it, I don't think. And, boy, he was happy after that. And so was all the rest of us, you know. And so how'd you shoot? Who cares? You know, that wasn't what we were there for, you know. And so these were the thoughts that the apostles, Paul and Silas, presented into this Philippian jailer in his house that now famous midnight. And it also seems, by reading this, in just kind of between the lines, that the other prisoners heard, and they were listening attentively, and they were still listening attentively unto the words of Paul and Silas as they spoke unto the jailer and those of his household. And realize that the jailer still had custody of all the prisoners and Paul and Silas. None of them had escaped, or he'd have been in a heap of trouble. And we know that. And in verse 33, even though the jailer had custody of Paul and Silas, he was very grateful. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Now, we don't have a photograph of this scene, only a word picture that Luke paints for us here. Some commentators paint the picture that the jailer's house and the prison shared the same roof. Okay, maybe they did, maybe they didn't. The facilities of the jailer's house and the prison house, if you will, were close enough together that the jailer could witness that the doors were open and that kind of thing. If they shared the same roof, so be it. It was they were close. And obviously, there was some means of water available. And if you look at commentaries, they'll argue over, well, what kind of water did they have, you know? Well, was it well water? Was it a fountain? Was it a spring? Was it a creek? Was there a tank there, a pond? Let's don't get hung up with this kind of stuff. There was water there, okay? And they are told, we are told that the jailer had compassion on Paul and Silas and washed their many stripes. And then at the last part of Acts 16:33 informs us that the jailer then was baptized, he and all his straightway. Now, when the jailer asked Paul and Silas in Acts 16:30, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What was Paul and Silas's answer? And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Notice that they didn't say, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized, and thou shalt be saved." That wasn't what they said. Neither did they say, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized and do a bunch of other stuff and thou shalt be saved." No, it's as simple as, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" The answer is, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house." That's it. Period. Put a period there. Okay, that's it. Now, to underscore this point, go to back to Luke 23, that all the being there is to being saved is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We find the story in Luke 23, and which is a record of one of the four different gospel records of Jesus' crucifixion. And in verse 32 of Luke 23, we find with Jesus there were two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. Then a few verses later, let's read starting in verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He had a lot of faith to express that. And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." This repentant thief had acknowledged Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He had the faith to believe that God would indeed raise Jesus from the dead. And with this confession, this thief was saved. And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." That's in Luke 23:43. Well, think about this. The repentant thief didn't have time to be baptized, did he? But he did believe that Jesus was his Lord and Savior. And we find the word "believed" 116 times in Scripture. Go to Genesis 15, verse 6, and you'll find the very first time we find the word "believed" in Scripture. It's in Genesis 15, 6, and this is where the Lord gave Abraham the Abrahamic covenant. And it says in Genesis 15, 6, that Abram, who before he was called Abraham, was named Abram, believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And this thought is quoted two more times, at least, in Scripture. One is in Romans 4:3, where Paul says, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." And then again later in Galatians 3:6, Paul again references Genesis 15:6, writing, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." So, to quote James, I said all that to say this. The repentant thief in Luke 23 also believed in the Lord, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Okay. Now, so why do we read then in Acts 16:33 that the jailer was baptized, he and all his house, straightway? Why is that put in there? Well, realize now that when the jailer and all of his household were baptized that midnight, that they all had just confessed Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, having now believed that God had raised Jesus from the dead. In go to 1 John 1:9. I'm not going to rush this. This is important that you see all this, all of us. 1 John 1:9 tells us this: "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." The jailer and those who believed of his household were now indeed saved. Paul and Silas then baptized the Philippian jailer and all his straightway after explaining to them The principles that are found in the next two portions of scriptures, we're going to go over Romans 6, 3 and 4. It says there in Romans 6, 3, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." And then go to Colossians, the second chapter, verse 12. Colossians 2:12. And Paul there writes, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead." Now, I want you to take the time this week to look up or get, through our website, you can get this track of Brother Copley wrote on water baptism and read it, and it'll explain a lot of this stuff. And I'll probably read a little bit or refer to it next time, since we ran out of time today. Lord willing, if the Lord tarries.